This medical update on KRDO News Radio is sponsored by Optum.
And joining us this morning is Dr. Todd Stearns. He's an OBGYN with Optum. And this month, we are focusing on cervical cancer. It is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Renee. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. Thanks again for having me back to talk about this important topic.
It's very important. And last week, if you missed it, and you can go back and listen to the podcast, we are basically talking understanding cervical cancer, the different types and some symptoms to watch out for. And this morning, doctor, we're going to talk about some causes and risk factors. And isn't there a prevalent cause for cervical cancer?
Yeah. So we're talking mostly this morning about human papilloma virus. You might have heard it mentioned or referred to HPV as the acronym, and it's just a virus that's very prevalent and it's spread by sexual contact and is implicated in the majority of cervical cancer cases.
Now, this is something, and we've kind of heard about this a little bit over the last couple of years. Actually, younger teenagers, if you will, both male and female, can get vaccinations. Is that right for HPV?
That is correct. There's hundreds of different types of genotypes or the types of virus that are out there that are classified as HPV, and there are vaccines that are available that cover nine or of the most potent types of HPV, which are implicated in the development of cervical cancer. And those vaccines are available starting at age 9 through now age 47.
So how is it that the HPV, the human papilloma virus, leads to cervical cancer in women?
Well, they say that HPV is a necessary but not sufficient element for the development of cervical cancer, meaning that if we look at all the cases of cervical cancer that have been recorded throughout history, nearly 99% of them have evidence of HPV in the cervical pathology sample. When we do the surgery, but it's not sufficient, meaning there are other causes that must be also existing for the development of cervical cancer. So it's necessary but not sufficient.
Okay. So what are some of those other causes that you were talking about?
Well, it really ties into immune system. It basically, it's the body's ability to not get rid of the HPV or have the HPV still lingering beyond a certain age as a woman progresses through life. So it's really, there are genetic causes and smoking, which, again, they both tie into not allowing the immune system to effectively clear the virus. So it's kind of all related to HPV, but maybe a person's genetic inability through their immune system to clear the HPV is what we're kind of focusing on in some of the upcoming research. And also smoking, it's one of those lifestyle habits which can decrease the body's immune system's ability to clear the virus. So it all kind of ties into HPV and your body's inherent ability to get rid of the virus, because you're going to get exposed to it just through life.
And is family, like genetic kind of family history, also play a role when it comes to cervical cancer?
Again, it does. It's a small component, okay, because of, as you said, it's necessary but not sufficient. But it's usually, again, tied to a person's genetic inability through family history to have an immune system that can effectively clear the virus. Yeah.
Now, doctor, some might be wondering, and we did talk about the HPV vaccine earlier. Some might be wondering, well, why would a man then want to get the HPV vaccine? But they can be a carrier. Is that right?
That is correct. So as we discussed earlier, it's spread through sexual contact. And if you go ahead and vaccinate a male, then we kind of decrease the chances of that HPV being passed on. So it is indicated also for males.
Okay. And if folks have questions or they want to get in touch with you or schedule an appointment, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, please just visit Colorado Springs Optum, cospring.optum.com, or call in 719-522-1135 to schedule an appointment. We can discuss all these things as well as conduct screening.
And I'm sure there's also info on the website and stuff like that if folks have more questions about what we're talking about. And again, we're talking about this all month. There's still a lot more to cover during Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and we truly appreciate it,
ma'am.
Dr. Stearns. Yes. So folks can reach out, though, if they have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your time.
Perfect. Dr. Todd Stearns with Optum. Thanks so much. We'll talk with you next week. 6:42 now at KRDO News Radio.